Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. China Perspective.
Money FM 89.3, it is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It's time now to turn our attention to headlines coming out of China. We've got some highlights from U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's six-day visit to China, as well as Russia showing interest in being part of China's Belt and Road plans in Central Asia. We're going to get some analysis right now. On the line with me is Chong Jia-ian, who is Associate Professor of Political Science at NUS and non-resident scholar, Carnegie, China. Prof, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Thanks so much for helping us out with this. Let's start off with a big one. Janet Yellen, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, visiting China for 6 days. Today is the last day of his visit. In fact, President Biden and President Xi also clashed on a telephone call as well. Prof, what were some of the highlights for you with regard to Janet Yellen's trip to China?
Well, I think Yellen was pretty frank in her remarks on overcapacity and solar panels and also PRC support for Russia. I think the other point is that the Yellen visit also substantiated the push that started with the Biden Xi meeting from last November about the PRC and the U.S. needing to continue the conversations. And I think the last point is that she's had some pretty high-level meetings at the government level. So, you know, it's Li Qiang, the premier, and then the deputy premier, so on. So it's been a pretty high-level visit.
Prof, you say high level, but the president, Xi Jinping, did not meet her. Am I reading too much into this?
Yes, you are. I mean, look, she's a ministerial level visitor. There's no reason why the head of state needs to necessarily see her. And she's had, you know, high level, working level kind of contact. So her Li Feng, Li Qiang, that would be appropriate for her level.
All right. What are your thoughts on the threat of sanctions for China banks that aid Russia's war? This, I want to say, on one hand, is quite bold a move, but at the same time, it's not unexpected considering the world's narrative with regard to that conflict.
So, I mean, it seems that the Russians are able to get around quite a number of the sanctions as they pursue their aggression against Ukraine. And I suppose what we are seeing is that PRC banks are one channel, and the U.S., I guess, wants to add some pressure to try to stem some of that flow of financing to Russia. And this is the sort of back and forth that you see with major power politics.
But it issues demand, and they will negotiate about it. So I mean, I don't find that particularly surprising.
Okay. Prof, another issue I want to look at. Janet Yellen mentioning that future discussions between the U.S. and China will focus on Beijing's need to shift its policy on industry and economy. China is trying to sort their own economy out. What your thoughts on how this will sit with China?
So I think the PRC would have heard what she says, but they won't necessarily agree. Part of the PRC's current efforts to get out of their economic woes is to try to, you know, pump more production and sort of use that to generate growth. And some of that has led to overcapacity that they then export overseas. Of course, for economies like the U.S. and frankly the EU and others as well, you know, they feel that the sort of subsidies and benefits that push the sort of production, putting pressure on their own producers, and they see that some fair trading practices. So of course they would sort of respond in the way that they do. But this is part of the ongoing U.S. PRC friction we've been seeing for several years.
Okay. At the end of the day, Professor, to sum things up with regard to this visit, does it put the U.S. and China on better footing?
I actually think it does. So there is a lot of tough talk, there is friction, but, you know, Georgia is better than World War. So the fact that they are communicating their differences means that there's some chance that they could find some sort of compromise in some areas, not all areas. And that helps move things forward. That helps keep the relationship stable. I mean, we have to remember that, you know, not all communication happens in a way that is all sort of flowery and smooth and happy.
Some of it involves tough conversations, and that's important for any relationship, in particular between two major powers.
All right. Sometimes you need a bit of tough talk in order to advance a relationship. Okay, Professor, let's talk about China's Shimao Group. They're facing a rare winding up petition from a Chinese state-owned bank over failure to pay a $202 million loan. Prof, your thoughts on this? Yet another hit for China's troubled real estate industry.
Yeah, so I mean, this goes back to the issue of overcapacity we talked about earlier. One of the ways that the PRC model has worked is, you know, there are areas where they think that they can generate growth, and they'll try to, you know, get those industries to produce more, sometimes through subsidies, loans, and so on and so forth. So real estate was, for a time, a growth engine for the Chinese economy. And they sort of overdid that area, and now there's that capacity, that overcapacity that, you know, needs to be addressed. And so we find property developers that really got into a lot of the development early on, now, you know, having to address the issues of overcapacity, address their debt. So this is a issue that will continue. I don't think that we've seen the end of it yet.
Okay, unlikely to see the end of this. Professor, let's move on to talk about Russia wanting to be part of China's Belt and Road plans in Central Asia. I want to get your perspective, Professor. Russia warming to China's Belt and Road plans in Central Asia, and just bearing in mind, they weren't exactly enthusiastic about the idea when it was first announced. Your thoughts?
Russia is in a very different position now than when the Belt and Road Initiative, also known as the One Belt, One Road, started back in 2013. At that point in time, they were in a stronger position. They hadn't gotten themselves in a expensive and devastating war. Now, Russia needs the PRC far more than the PRC needs Russia. So one of the ways that I suppose Putin thinks that he can try to get more assistance from the PRC is to be more compliant with the Belt and Road Initiative and, you know, other projects that the PRC might be rolling out, even if this means putting Russian influence on the line, because I think Putin is very much all in with his war in Ukraine. So, you know, other things will have to do.
All right, I've been speaking with Chong Jia-ian, Associate Professor of Political Science, NUS, and non-resident scholar, Carnegie China. Prof, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely, you're welcome.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.